This is an ABC podcast.
How do you combine your faith and your culture? I was born and raised Catholic and named after a Catholic nun. So religion was a huge part of my life. For me, as a Papua New Guinean woman, I have begun to question the religion I was raised in when I was progressing on through life. After my own soul searching, I believe every religion have their own God or higher power they connect with spiritually. I'm Hilda Wayne, and today on Sisters Let's Talk, a special interview from our colleagues at ABC Radio National's Soul Search. On Soul Search, Meredith Lake explores modern-day religion and spirituality from the inside out. Recently, Meredith spoke to a West Papuan woman about the intersections of her culture, her Christianity, and her womanhood. And I am so pleased to bring you that interview today.
Well, come with me now to the disputed region of West Papua. Formerly, it's a province of Indonesia, thanks to a UN brokered deal made back in the 1960s. It's also a region where questions of religion and liberation are bound up with each other, and where women often bear the brunt of a volatile political situation. Rode Wanimbo is a peace activist originally from the Central Highlands of West Papua. She's currently based on the coast in the provincial capital of Jayapura. Like the majority of West Papuans, Rode identifies as a Christian, and in fact she heads up the women's department of Giddy Church, which is one of West Papua's most active Protestant denominations. Rode joins me to share her perspective on West Papua, to talk about her culture, her faith, and her hopes for Indigenous West Papuan women.
I've been witnessing that we were uprooted from our roots. I personally grew up feeling inferior. My traditional attire was viewed as a symbol of backwardness, as a symbol of uncivilized. And it was very sad that the traditional practices, the harmonious living interconnectedness with the nature and the community, the other living creatures were destroyed. We are losing of our belief system, our values of our culture. That's what I can say, yeah.
You said you felt uprooted. What did your parents teach you about your culture that you were able to hang on to, I mean?
My parents, they were the first generation that introduced to the formal education. So they forced us, they forced their children, I mean, including me, to learn and speak Malay as best as we can. We have to learn Bahasa Indonesia so that we will be accepted in the formal education system. So I grew up speak Indonesian Malay. But we have family relatives that comes from around the village come to our home. So the conversation that my parents have with the relative in Lani language, and my father from the Lani tribe and my mother from Walak. So I grew up understand these two languages. But then I was forced to learn Bahasa Indonesia so that I can have a better future, to have a job. That's what my parents said. But they said, never forget your identity. You have to learn your parents, Lani and Walak. I'm really proud of them because they taught me to be proud of my culture. So during my primary up to senior high school in Indonesia system, they used to have a carnival. It's once a year to celebrate Indonesian Independence Day. The students in the school were asked to dress up in a uniform, which profession that they want to be, like a dress up as a doctor, as a nurse, as a teacher. So my parents asked me, what do you want to wear? And I said, I want to wear my traditional attire. So So an Indonesian teacher asked me, Rode, do you don't have a vision? What you want to become in the future? And then I said, for now, I don't know. I want to be a teacher like my father. But today I'm happy to wear my traditional attire.
So when you had to dress in a way that pointed towards the future you hoped for, your hope as a school student was to be yourself, to have your culture fully visible and respected and seen by your wider community.
Yes.
That's a remarkable thing.
Yeah, that's one thing that I'm proud of my parents, and it's really, it keeps me on when I was in, even in university, and even in my wedding, I ask my husband now, Timmy, to dress up. We were dressed up traditionally, wearing our traditional attire in our wedding, as a way of, I want to inspire the younger generation of West Papuan, especially in the Highlands, that we are created in the image of God, no matter what our traditional attire viewed by the others and by the dominant culture, that it is a symbol of backwardness, it is a symbol of uncivilized, but this is me. I was created in the image of God, and I was placed in this land with this culture. So I want to be me. I want to be West Papuan. You cannot force me to be somebody else.
Rode's appeal there to a theological principle, being created in the image of God, it points to another big part of her story as a Highlander, the spread and influence of the church. These days, Christianity is actually the major religion in West Papua. Roughly 2/3 of people are affiliated with one of the region's many churches. But as Rode says, Christianity in the region also has its complications.
The church is the community. But then now we kind of not realize that in practicing our religious practices, we are not realized that we put God in a walls, in a buildings. So we are losing of our belief system, our values of our culture. That's what I can say, yeah.
So how does Rode navigate her religious inheritance in her situation?
In one case, I was grateful that gospel was brought by the European descent missionaries to the Highlands of West Papua. But then after 20 years in the process of becoming a Christian, but I prefer to say a follower of Christ, I was realized that the gospel that brought by the European descent missionaries is not the whole gospel. I wonder that the story will be different if the gospel is understood as a seed of good news. It is better to brought the seed of the good news and plant it in the soil of the land of West Papuan. It will be a different story than that the gospel was spread, but it's already influenced by the dominant culture of the people who brought the gospel.
These missionaries, these European descended missionaries, arrived in the Highlands, I think, in about the 1950s.
Yeah.
By the time you were growing up, what did church or Christianity look like for you?
I was taught the way my parents were taught, especially salvation, because the gospel that was introduced to my parents in the early 50s, it's about love of God. And if we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we will have eternal life. The teaching of the Gospels, it's more focused on life after death, building a relationship with God. So it's self-reconciliation with the Creator. So when I was in university, when I realized more aware of the history of West Papua and what has been experiencing by the West Papuan, even the land, the mountains, the oceans, and the other living creatures in the land of West Papua, I started questioning my faith. What's wrong with the gospel? What gospel speak about my reality, the daily life that I've been living in West Papua?
How did you begin to answer that?
Yeah. I spent almost years, I can say 8 to 10 years, questioning my faith. And I realized that I've been a selfish Christian. Like, I satisfy with the salvation that I have, and I don't care about what's going on around me and what's happening with other people in my land. So it's take years to realize that I was a blind follower of Christ. I have to understand what is the true teachings of Jesus that was introduced by the good news, by the gospel. So I start to take years in my personal journey, the personal journey of healing.
Rode is a member of the Evangelical Church of Indonesia, which is also known by its acronym as GIDI Church. GIDI is one of the Protestant denominations that's most active in the Highland regions, and in 2013, Rode became the director of its women's department. In that role, Rode has had to reconfigure her own Christian faith as she spent time with village women and become an advocate for those impacted by human rights and humanitarian disasters.
From listening to the stories of the mothers, we start to read the scriptures of the Bible. Does these verses really speak to us? For example, the Romans 13 says that the state government is the representative of God on earth. So it, through the storytelling process, one of the mothers say that her village were burned down by the security forces of the state. And some of her relatives experienced torture, and some women were raped. Why government, the state government, do nothing when its citizens experience all this? The area where GIDI running the services and ministry, it's in the regencies in the highlands, like Tolikara, Puncak Jaya, Pegunungan Bintang. These are the place where the, as I'm speaking today, the military operation is going on, in Yahukimo Regency, in Pegunungan Bintang. At the moment, hundreds of people are leaving their homes and families, and it's been almost 6 months they are living in a forest, and hundreds of them are moving towards a neighboring country at the border of Papua New Guinea, and most of them are women and children, and they are living in a very poor condition. No clean water, no electricity, no food for them. They have been eating leaves in the forest. And just recently, I just came back from Wamena, where we ran a workshop for trauma healing for the internally displaced people, for the mothers who comes from Nduga since December 2018. There was a armed conflict in Nduga, and thousands of people are living to settle in Wamena and some other regions. So at the moment, lots of women and children and men are living in a trauma, and the central government do nothing to make sure that the rights of the IDPs respected, protected, and fulfilled.
As Rode mentioned, violence in the region has intensified, especially since late 2018. On March the 1st, UN human rights experts said that estimates of the overall number of people displaced in West Papua these last 3 years range from 60 to 100,000 people. As a faith leader in this distressing context, with a particular concern for the plight of women, Rode has helped to document human rights abuses in the Highlands, submitting statements and reports to the UN. Along with other peace activists, including pastors and the Pacific Conference of Churches, she's also called attention to the urgent humanitarian needs of displaced women, children and men. At the same time, for Rode personally, the distress of her people has presented a huge challenge to her faith. What does the Christian gospel mean for how she sees government authority or views perpetrators?
People who brought the gospel to West Papua were coming from superpower countries who owned the multinational companies that destroy the interconnectedness of God's creation in the land of West Papua. And it is extremely difficult for me to see that the Indonesian security forces have Imago Dei, have the image of God. So I've been learning to see them and to build relationship with the Indonesian brothers and sisters who are living in West Papua at the moment. It is a challenging, but it is the path that I have to walk. It's a consequence to be a follower of Christ, but it is take courage, and I need to share this with the other West Papuan women and other friends to really stand together to create hope and to develop hope. We are in the total darkness situation, but having friends to share our stories, share our pains, I believe that I'm planting a seed of hope. I believe that Jesus is having tears with us. I believe that Jesus, he's crying with us to see that his own image are living in a jungle without food, are sick and dying with incurable diseases. And I believe that he is crying. And he must be really sad when the leader of his church take a position of neutral or remain in silent, or to be honest, compromise with the central government and didn't mobilize the congregation to give what we have. I remember when more than 5,000 people gathered and the disciple of Jesus said that, Jesus, we have to tell them to go home. And Jesus said, no, you have to feed them. And what I understand and what I've been praying that the church leaders in West Papua will take action to driven the community, to driven the church, that this is our responsibility to feed the people, to bring medicine for the people, and to give hope. Because the desire of Jesus to me, it's bring down the kingdom of heaven on earth. But the people, the image of God has been dying, has been destroying by the system, by the oppressive system. So how can we as a church practice the love, living in harmony, how can we bring the character of the kingdom of heaven on earth or in West Papua?
Can I ask you about your work with women? Because I know that has been so much a part of your life and your focus and your own ministry as a Christian and as a peace activist in West Papua.
Thank you. Along with an amazing teamwork, we start a storytelling in a circle. We're trying to create a safe space for the woman to talk, because women need to be liberated first, because coming from a community which has male-dominated system, women living under the idea that women are not fully human. In my tradition, the value of woman is equal to the number of pigs as dowry. So women suffer in silence, and we have to start to liberate women, because women are the tiru. So we start sitting in a circle with the mothers. We learn together to embrace ourselves, that we are created in the image of God. We have a capacity. We have a call to exercise stewardship. We are the one who make sure that our children and our husband have food, have meal at homes. And so women have to be strong. Women have to have a healthy self-image.
Rode, you have written in one of your essays on this theme that the Christian gospel liberates women from a very patriarchal circle of power. It liberates women from social stigma and returns women to the original purpose of the Creator.
Yes.
Could you say more about that liberation? What makes you so confident of this?
Liberation is a great commission to me. I value liberating as wenenu. Wenenu in Lani word means an important messages. In the context of Lani, it is crucial for parents to share wenenu to their children before they passed away. So liberating women to me is a great commission. It is the reason why I have to wake up in the morning and I have to sit with my teamwork, because most of the women in the village, they are believing that they are second-class citizens. They are believing that they are the one who makes sin, as was introduced in a sermon in the church, that Eve was the one who, you know, picked the fruit in a Garden of Eden. So most of the women believing that, so they accept the stigma, the label that were introduced to them. So this is the thing that drives our teamwork to work for women. Because we believe that when women liberated, then West Papua can experience peace and justice.
You know that when Desmond Tutu preached to communities in South Africa, often communities who were treated like second-class citizens, he would often say, you bear the image of God. You are a God-bearer. Don't let anybody make you forget it. Listening to you, Rode, it reminds me of him and of that message that's been so potent in liberation movements all over the world. Mm-hmm. What is your hope for that message in West Papua?
Thank you very much. I thank you very much also for sharing that, because listening to that sentence, to that statement by the late Archbishop, it was really encouraged me in my situation here. So to me, the women, mothers of West Papuan, they evangelized me in a very special way. Their action their work, it's shifting my understanding of faith. The mothers helped me to understand that faith is like an action in making fire every morning in the house. Faith is an action of the mothers in weaving yum, our traditional string bag. Their action in taking responsibility as a mother to go to the remain villages to take sweet potatoes from the gardens, to walk for hours every day to the nearest river to get the clean water, to make sure that their children, the relatives in the IDP shelters, have meals to survive, to continue to live. So their work, it's, to me, it's faith, because they create hope. They put their life in danger for the life of their children, for the life of their husband, for the life of their relatives. So they are the true heroes, the hidden heroes. So I truly admire them. They are the one who really are shifting my worldview about faith. Hmm.
Rode, earlier on you used a Alani word, wenanu, a very important message. What is your wenanu, especially for people like me, for us listening to you in Australia?
Thank you, Meredith, for asking that question. I appreciate your question. As a sister, I say sister because you were created in the image of God. The wenanu of your West Papuan sister is that we all, men and women, despite of our nationality, the skin color, or the profession we have, or the history of our family, of our nation, despite of all that, we, all of us, are created in the image of God. And I want to share with you that your brothers and sisters in West Papua are dying. The image of God has been destroying, has been crushing, has been dismissing in the name of Christianity, in the name of colonial development, in the name of civilization. So please use your privilege to amplify my voice, my pain. I believe that you are listening, and together, let us work together to restoring God's image in our own humanity. Please advocate to your government, to other stakeholders, that we are dying with the system that has been running by Indonesian government and also by the multinational companies that exist in the land of West Papua.
That was West Papuan Rode Wanimbo speaking to Meredith Lake on the ABCRN program Soul Search. You can listen to Soul Search as a podcast on the ABC Listen app or on your preferred podcast platform. Next time on Sisters Let's Talk, violence against women isn't always physical. Why are Pacific Island men using social media to punch down on women from the Pacific?
Seeing videos like this pop up over and over, I'm like, it doesn't surprise me. This is the stuff that we keep receiving from our men, is this idea that women are the butt of the joke when we're not.
That's next time on Sisters Let's Talk. I'm Tosol Nabungimu next time.